Like we have a quorum. You see, I think wasn't Alan here a minute ago? I thought Alan was here.
No, I haven't seen Alan's avatar. Oh
Okay.
yeah, when I joined, I saw him. I saw his name.
Hey, there's Chris. What's up,
Yep, hey,
Chris?
how's it going?
Thanks for being here.
Yep.
So we just need one more for quorum. And we did reach out to I did reach out. I had a conversation with Caitlin King. Hopefully she'll be joining us this evening for her first meeting. I have not heard from Peter Van Dyne. I believe Brenda will be joining us. She's recovering from her knee surgery. Me just text Alan, see if he has problems getting on.
Chris, you're an official alternate, correct?
No, he's not. Not
No.
yet. Not yet. We hope
Okay,
to
he's
have
still a participating member of the public.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Text Alan Bicknell. So I guess I'll just go over the agenda while we wait for quorum. Anybody
I'm
have
here.
a problem? Somebody's there. Oh,
I'm.
Brenda. Hey, we have
It's
a quorum.
Brenda.
Hello, Brenda.
Hey, Red.
Hi guys, how are you?
I'm still on the side of the equation, so I'll take it.
That's good.
There we go. Can everybody see the agenda?
Yep.
Now I can.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to make it one big, huge size.
The building's solid. It just needs to be spruced up.
Page width. There we go. How are you
Thank
doing, Brenda? How's your knee?
you. Coming along. I had PT today, so.
How'd it go? You increasing that range of motion?
Yeah, I'm now up to 110 degrees, so I'm getting there.
Terrific.
Yep.
Great news. Okay, so since we have a quorum, I guess we'll call the meeting to order. It's 7:05. This is the regular meeting of the Conservation Commission for Monday, February 2nd, 2026. I added an extra two in there. That's incorrect. 2026, and it is 7:06. And we have in attendance with us Rod Parley, Chair, Brenda Cataldo, Matt Rivers, Chris Vandenberg, and Alan Bicknell has joined us. Thanks, Alan. How are you?
Okay, I'm having issues with the laptop though.
And
Okay.
also, we have our clerk with us, Andrea Pasello.
Hi. Hello.
So,
Hi, Andrea.
Alan, what's up with the laptop? Anything we can do on this end?
No, it's not, it's the laptop itself. I've been having some issues with it, but the screen is like dulled.
Well, don't feel bad. I was trying to use my new camera I got for Christmas and I can't get it to work. Instead, I have this picture on here. But anyway, so we'll call the meeting. The meeting is already called to order, so we'll roll into the first second item, which is the minutes review of our January 6th, 2025 regular meeting. And I'll try to bring them up. Unless, of course, everybody had a chance to read them, but I'd rather share them because there's some really cool things on there. Let me just dig it out here. Where are the minutes? There we go. Okay. All right, does everybody see the first page of the minutes from January 5th?
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to scroll through these real quick. Somebody has their camera. Could you scan that and see if it works? They have their phone. Planning to do is
Wait, that took me to the 2023-24 annual report.
dynamite. And then this one here.
One takes me to the history of Freja Park.
Great. That's the brochure that you get at the kiosk. Wow, nice job, Andrea, breaking down the purpose of the data collection and transfer subcommittee. That's really nice. Nice and carp.
You're welcome.
Compartmentalized. Another QR code. Somebody want to check? Breakfast options. Hey, here I am. It worked.
There you go.
All right.
Yes, the 25th annual free townwide photo contest website. So it looks like it's working.
Good. Okay. Anybody care to make a motion to approve?
Actually, I do have some corrections.
Okay. Let's make a motion first, and we can second and then discuss.
I'll make a motion to accept the meeting minutes, as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, discussion.
All right, so, under 6.4, Beaver Solutions.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Did the beavers build a dam over the existing dam, or did they only build the dam over the stream temperature monitor?
That's a different spot.
Okay, so it was a dam over the existing dam. I didn't realize there had been an existing dam.
Yeah, that's the main earthen dam that's at the end of Notch Pond.
Yeah. All right. And then under 7.0, Alan's request to contact Jim Rupert. Let's see, what was it?
I don't see this. What part of 7.0?
I'm trying to remember.
A. Bicknell moved to request Town Administrator James Rupert to contact the CP
Contact.
Department Transportation to remove
Rod, you need to go back.
above.
Right there, hold.
Oh, I see it.
To
Okay. Yep. Gotcha. Right here.
remove
To
of
remove
and
of and prevent.
prevent. Yeah,
Right
it would
there.
be remove and
The,
prevent.
or
Okay.
the
Yeah,
removal of and prevent litter from entering, perhaps.
that's okay the way it is, right?
No,
Yeah. To
to
remove
remove
of
of.
and prevent litter.
Oh, so to remove
So it
and
should be
yeah.
removal of.
Removal of, okay.
And prevention of, and removal of and prevention of litter from it. Regional district for removal of would be the clearest.
I don't think we
Okay.
said the number of the regional district at the time, but so you can't really add things that weren't said unless it's in there, is it? Did we say
No,
region?
I'm clarifying the verbiage route.
Oh, okay. Say regional district. Yep. The removal
Regional
of.
district for removal of
Oh,
and prevention.
for the. I'm sorry. Gotcha. Grammatically adding the word FOR. I thought we were using numerical numbers. Okay. Regional district for the removal of and prevention of litter. Correct.
Yes,
Gotcha.
from entering, yeah.
Okay. Anything else? A couple of shovels.
That's what I got.
Okay. Good find. Okay, so any more discussion?
Yeah, it was my wife with that.
What's that?
No, it's okay.
All right, so there's been a motion and a second to approve the minutes as amended, and now they're as amended. Is there
I
any more
will
discussion?
move. Is there any more discussion
Yes.
before?
Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, motion is carried. Minutes are approved. Thank you. Good job. Okay. Public comment 3.0. Is there anybody here on behalf of the public that would like to speak? Okay. Next is finance report. Calendar sales update. You might have received an email from me on that. So the total income we received so far, actually for this entire sale of our calendar, Brenda, what was this, our 14th annual calendar or 15th?
I don't remember.
I don't remember it.
We keep going
Somewhere.
back and forth. I don't
I know,
know.
I think it was the 15th. I think it was the f anyway, either the 14th or 15th. It says it on the front. Let me see if I have a copy of one here. Or actually, it's in my text of the calendar letter. Okay, looks like it's the 15th. That was the 15th edition. Okay, so our total funds collected was $2,960. And the cost for printing was roughly 1500. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. Did you guys see that did I send you an email on that? Or maybe it's in the agenda? Let me take a look.
Not seeing it in the agenda.
There we go. So here it is. The attached itemized deposits total $2,960. $410 of that total sales is taxable, resulting in $2,604 from the total, which equals $2,933.96 in revenue. And our calendar cost was $1,580.85, which results in a $1,353 unconfirmed profit. And that should add to our conservation activity fund, which will be have an unconfirmed balance of $6,104.50.
Not bad.
Not bad. So thanks everyone for
selling those calendars and printing everything you did was pretty remarkable, Alan.
Except I have two more calendars that I sold, so I got $20 for you.
Wow, so we can add $20 onto that total. That's great. And I believe the town hall has one left they're selling.
And technically, I still have, I think, two in my possession.
Okay.
So if anybody needs one, let me know.
And you have one for yourself, right?
Correct.
Great. And Chris, do you have one yet?
Oh yeah, I have one.
Okay.
How's about two? You want two?
And maybe sometime if we run into Andrea in person, we can give one to Andrea too. Okay.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Any questions on calendar sales?
No.
Okay. The FY26-27 budget is up for review. I've been invited to attend a budget review committee on Thursday, which is not mandatory. I think I can make it, but I'm not positive. But I think this is great. The first time they've actually invited us to discuss it. I know that we've requested to go for many years, and it was mostly over the payroll issue. It was when they actually increased the payroll for clerks, but didn't increase that portion of our payroll budget. So we were running into a budget shortfall. But now that seems to have cured itself. So I see no reason why we should have to go. And we aren't asking for any more in our budget. We're asking for the same as last year. So any questions about that?
No.
All right, and next is the Connecticut Land Conservation Council membership status and conference. Can somebody bring up CLCC membership on their website, on their computer? I thought I wrote it down here. I don't seem to have it. Remember, Alan, I went over it with you. I think I mentioned it to you last week sometime.
I'm trying to bring it up.
Okay. I believe it was $80 per person if we
Oh
join.
yeah.
If we join, it's $100 for membership and $80 or 85.
Oh, you said 80.
80. Okay. All right. So, what the Connecticut Land Conservation Council annual meeting is all about? It's all about one of the largest gatherings of conservationists, mostly consisting of land trust directors in the state of Connecticut. It happens every year. Last year, they had over 500 people with over 50 workshops. It's at Wesleyan. It's on March 21st. Last year, Alan and I went representing the Conservation Commission. And what were your thoughts, Alan?
Oh yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool. A lot of fascinating information. The venue was nice. The food was very good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's it's a little embarrassing because it's better than Kakiwik. At one time, Kakiwik used to be the largest statewide venue for conservationists in the state. But now the Connecticut Land Conservation Council has surpassed our 300 attendee rate. And yeah, it's pretty tremendous. It's an action-packed day. And I would like to attend again. And Alan, I think you'd probably like to attend, and anybody else is more than welcome to attend. And now
Yes,
is the time.
I would definitely like to go.
Okay. Anybody else interested in attending?
When's it happening again?
It's
21st
March
March.
21st. It's a Saturday in
March.
March. It's at Wesleyan, and we usually carpool.
March 21st. No can do. I'm working that day.
Okay. And so we can join, let me see, we can pay like 115 a person, non-membership, if we don't join, it's like $5 difference. I figured it out. If we join for $100 and we register at the early bird level for 80 or 85, did you check that, Alan?
I can't seem to locate it.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's 80, but it might have been 85.
Yeah, I thought you said 80.
80, okay. So that would be $260. And if you didn't join, it would be 125, I think, per person. It's like 250 or 260. 280. 260 or two, I think it was 260 or 280. Anyway, I would suggest that we become a member again. We've always been a member. It's usually calendar year. We've always joined fiscal year, so now we're due for membership. And I would encourage us to join it at a $100 rate, and we can we qualify. They're tiered membership, based on our budget. And if we're less than $10,000, it's only $100 to join. And I think we come in under that. So I would consider a motion entertaining membership to CLCC for $100.
I will move to appropriate $260 for CLCC membership.
Okay, so just want to rephrase your motion. It's $100 for membership, and why don't we just do that motion first?
Oh, okay.
So it's been a motion to join CLCC membership for the year of 2026 for $100, and that would be taken out of the. Hold on a second. I'll tell you the name of the fund. Dues and fees. Dues and fees fund.
I will move to join CLCC at the $100 level to with funds coming from the dues and fees fund.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any questions, comments,
No.
discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion's carried unanimous. Great. Now we need a motion to send Alan and I to the meeting at $80 per person. Early bird registration.
I'll make a motion to send you and I, you and me, to the concert to the
CLCC.
meeting, CLCC event in March 21st, at a cost of $80
Early bird registration.
early bird registration.
Great. And that would be Rod Parley and Alan Bicknell. Is there a second?
I will second.
Any questions, comments, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carried. Thank you. We'll be glad to report back to you all in April. All right. Any other questions about finances? Okay, next is the Capital Region Council government presentation on the interchange of Route 6, Route 44, and Interstate I-384. This was a presentation that was made to the Board of Selectmen on Tuesday, last Tuesday. And it was about a conceptual plan for that intersection, where it's tremendously lacking connectivity. It's really interesting plan, and I'm going to bring that up right now to share with you and go over it so everybody gets an idea. It's kind of new in the sense that it hasn't been really shown to the public yet. I think the Board of Selectmen are planning a public hearing on this. So this is a PowerPoint that pretty much resembles what was presented by Bob Eloise. He's the Director of Transportation for the Capital Council Regional Governments.
That is available on the town website. You just have to dig into the board of, you have to go under Board of Selectmen minutes, and under the meeting that it was at.
This is available. Great.
Yep. Just took a look at it.
What I'm looking for, and if you see it, let me know, Matt, is the actual presentation that was made through Zoom. Because they tend to point to things and you get a better idea. It's hard to understand, but I think it's possible we can grasp what the gist of it is. This is the history, pretty much goes into the history and the reasons, the purpose and the need is it's crazy. There's all these disconnections. It's really dysfunctional the way it is. It's hard to believe we lived this way for so long. And believe it or not, this plan cures all those problems.
Yes, but at what cost to the taxpayer of Bolton when,
So the cost, the cost of the previous plan was done in 2013 was, I believe, 80 million, and this is 50, 55, roughly 55 million. And when you see what they're going to do, I think you'll agree that it's a remarkable plan. There's a lot of things. More eyes look at it, the more things we'll have questions over. But it does do a lot. And let me bring up the best map. This is the 2013 plan. So this is the best map. And I think I can zoom in on this somehow. I think I can. There we go. Okay. So if you can picture yourself going from, why don't we start from going from the Bolton commuter lot to Munson's, okay? You're going to be on one thread of a highway, Route 6, and not get off at all, which is pretty much no difference than it is. Problem is, it's Route 6 and it's Route 6 only. It's going both ways. So in other words, if you see my cursor, Route 6 will be both direction bidirectional, and it'll basically serve that purpose, is to basically by itself. Now, if you're going to Route 44, you would take a left-hand exit to continue on Route 44. West and east. What really this does the most is when you're coming off a notch road, you're going to run into an intersection. An intersection with a stoplight. Actually, there's two intersections, one here and then one right there where the stoplight is. So the intersection will allow you to go to Route 44 east or west, or Route 6 east or west. And you can see that it goes underneath an overpass. So the Route 6, I believe, is higher than this area here. I believe it's a bridge that goes over the top. What's really interesting here also is if you can't recognize this, there's a good reason. It's because this section, this back secondary road leading to the red light from Notch Road, is going to go over right over the existing apartments. At the end of Notch Road, there's a series of apartments. When you come to that stop sign, you look to the right. Apparently, they're abandoned. Does anybody know that for a fact?
No, I don't.
They are not abandoned. People live there.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Well,
Who said they were abandoned?
I thought I heard that somewhere in the discussion.
Yeah, they mentioned that in the discussion. They said they used the word abandoned because I typed it in as abandoned.
That's where I heard it. Thank you,
Yep.
Andrea. So anyway, this is what they're going to purchase, and that's part of the 55 million. They will purchase this property. And they will basically put in a trailhead parking. to the left here, which
In the
will
old quarry?
no, the quarry's on the other side. This
Right.
is to the right side of the stop sign. This
Oh,
is
okay.
where those apartments are. So this will eliminate the need for parking. This will add parking, much needed parking, to the Hopper River Trail East Coast Greenway. And something I didn't realize, this should be fast tracked in my mind, other than future discussion, obviously. But I didn't know that the town of Bolton does not allow their fire apparatus to go down Notch Road at all. That's
Rod,
off
we've
limits.
covered that. We've covered that before.
Right. It's hard to believe. And so
No,
they
we've
have no
covered that in
longer,
this meeting before.
if there's a fire at the hardware store, they have to go all the way around. They have to come basically down what's that road where Price's is. They have to go out of their way.
44.
So that's to me, that's a safety issue, just one. Not to mention the crash data, the existing crash data for that area. They've had rollovers. They
And
have
I'm
very.
still concerned about rollovers.
Yeah, I don't know what this does about the speed. It's a good question. The speed rate on Route 6. I don't see any traffic calming measures.
Yeah, I guess the entrance onto Route 6E onto 6 East, you're just, I mean, you might nerf your br you might nerf your brakes at the split, but just to keep yourself from going over the curve, but there is zero traffic calming east or westbound. The traffic, the speed's going to be just as bad. And what are we going to do with the, and what's to become of the people who do occupy the those apartments? Just, and why are we getting stuck with the price tag for a mess that Condot just allowed to grow and grow? It's not, I mean, I obviously would require a much deeper dive into the archives, but how much say did Bolton have over the current, dare I say it, Malavahass, that is the current interchange?
All good questions, Matt. It seems like this is the result of poor planning. It really is. And the result of no planning.
And the town of Bolton getting stuck with, and the town of Bolton getting stuck with the price tag. I can't get on board with that.
Well, I don't know if it's the town of Bolton per se. I don't think we're paying the $50 million. I think this
Yeah,
is going.
this is a DOT
Yeah,
project,
so
so.
how this, I forgot to mention
Okay.
how this works. They basically, this is a CROG proposal. They want buy-in from the town first before they bring it to DOT. And then they have a certain type of meeting where they would run it by their different departments, make sure it's environmentally safe, make sure that's the engineering department approves of it. So there's a lot more checks and balances before it's a done deal. But we are no in no way paying for this exclusively. This is DOT pro this would be a DOT funded project. At least that's my understanding. So there's a lot to learn, and I'm looking forward to I would have gone to the meeting if I didn't have a CACUIC meeting, and at the same time there was a Wetlands Commission meeting where they were talking about the subsurface septic system for the library and the town hall. So there's a lot happening. So anyway, this is very interesting, and I think that as we learn more about it, we'll probably have more to say. Anyway,
So
go ahead, Alan.
access to the tunnel parking lot now will just be this trailhead parking.
Guess what? That's a good point, Alan. They did nothing for it to change the tunnel parking. There's no right-hand turn lane only. I thought they would institute. I thought they would. That was a no-brainer. What they're doing is creating a different, another trailhead, which what might eliminate the need to expand. And I'd love to actually learn Is it going to eliminate the need to expand the tunnel parking lot by putting in this trail, by removing these apartments?
I would think it would.
I would hope. It looks like it's pretty big to me. I mean, it's a
Right.
good size trailhead parking area.
Near as I'm, far as I'm concerned, if that trailhead parking were to go in there, then that would obviate the parking down by down by the tunnel. So that way the only vehicle that needs to use the road is the people who live down that dirt road. So that way you have as few people as possible making that suicidal hard back right.
Right. And if anything, maybe they could have, ADA access there. 10 spots for ADA, maybe a very
Well,
small, maybe, focus in on the fact that it's just ADA.
yeah, that makes no sense because, people with disabilities would be taking their life in their own hands
That's true.
by taking that right. They're
Good point.
much better off right with the main parking area.
Good point. So the other thing that we had been concerned about for some time is I know that the original plan didn't really have the elevation of this bridge on Route 6. It was going to go really close to the Squaw's Cave, almost
Right.
eye level. At least that's what we were concerned about. But it doesn't look like this is very close to the cave. Can I zoom in, zoom out on that? Let me see if I can. Yeah, it's not really showing. It looks like the cave is up here on the left. You see my cursor?
Yeah.
Maybe even over here.
Yeah, I think it's like almost like right above the 44, where just below your cursor, it's somewhere.
Right in here.
Yeah,
Oh,
and
there's the vernal pool. So that's the
I was
vernal
gonna
pool.
say,
So
yeah, so
it's
it's
got
a
to be
little
right around there.
right.
Which is quite a way. So it looks doesn't look like it's affecting. That's really great that they're not affecting the view shed from the cave.
And
Well,
just to open up another can of worms, so is there going to be an archaeological survey of this whole construction project?
that's a good point. All these things have to be mentioned, Alan. So that's something we could bring up, in
Because
our.
as it turns out, we know that the Notch is, already quite significant archaeologically speaking,
Yes.
although they may have, done archaeological work when they initially put the 384 in there. But
Right.
I'm sure there's more
Anyway,
that could
so
be.
this stay tuned. There'll be more about this, but you've had an idea. You got a little bit of an idea as to what to expect. Any other last
Yeah,
minute questions?
I would also be fascinated to see the Zoom meeting regarding
Yes,
this.
same here. I hope that they do post that. Yep.
Take a look like
Okay.
we'll paint that green. See if it looks like pine trees.
Whoops. Don't know what happened to my screen here. Stop share. There we go. Okay. Back to the agenda. There we go.
And
All right, so.
Caitlin King has joined us.
Hi, Caitlin King.
Hi, everybody. I didn't realize it was a Zoom meeting, so I was waiting in the town hall for a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez.
Yeah. I'm happy I didn't bring cookies.
Oh, that's too bad. I was thinking, I don't have this in my mind that somebody's going to show up at town hall, I bet. I thought it might have been Chris, but it was Kate instead. Sorry, Kate. And so it's every other meeting. The Heritage Farm Commission meets when we don't. They have the same night. I don't know why they picked the same night. We've been meeting since the beginning of time on the first Monday. But they tend to meet also at different locations. They meet at the Notch Road Municipal Center and sometimes even at the Heritage Farm. Anyway, so like to introduce Caitlin King. She's our newest member. And Caitlin, we had a discussion and I'm very impressed with your background. Maybe you want to share a little bit of that with us.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's all different, depending on where you are and everything. But so I work for the state of Massachusetts with the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. I've been doing that for 3 years. And then before that, I was working with the state of Massachusetts still in mosquito control. So we had a lot of conversations with conservation commissions in Massachusetts. Before that, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and currently I'm in the Coast Guard Reserve, and I've been doing that for 4 years now. So,
How many years do you have to do that for?
I have a 6-year contract, but we'll see what the next administration brings if I want to renew or not.
Good for you. Well, that's great news. Well, thank you for considering the Conservation Commission joining us. I'd like to introduce you to our members, Alan Bicknell.
Hi.
Alan, you want to say a little something about your background?
I'm a special education teacher, and I'm particularly interested in Native American stuff. And like I had mentioned earlier, that the Notch is just full of all sorts of historical and archaeological sites. And then one last thing, like for instance, the Route 44 is the old Algonquin, what they call the Great Path or Mishimaigaat, that went from Albany to Boston and goes right through the Notch. And apparently Thomas Hooker came through here as well. And then of course during the American Revolution, the French were camped out at Heritage Farm. And so it's lots of fun stuff. I
That's
actually have
fantastic.
an anthropology degree as well.
Great. Thanks, Alan. And Brenda Cataldo, our other long-term member.
Yes, long term. Hi.
Seems like just yesterday.
Yeah.
Brenda, by the way, Brenda is the one responsible for this amazing calendar we put together. 15 years of great results of our photo contest. Put in a format for the entire town to appreciate, along with all the great dates like Groundhog Day and all the good things that happen throughout the year.
Oh yes, fun stuff. Yep, and I'm also a wildlife rehabilitator, so been doing that for 22 years. Yep, so got some background with that. What else? What else do I do?
You live in your treehouse sometimes.
Oh yeah, I live in my treehouse. Yeah. That's
It's
about
something
it.
out of like it's an amazing treehouse. One of these days, we just got to have our meeting in your treehouse. That'd be kind of
Oh
fun.
yeah. My rehab center.
So, Matt Rivers, are you handy?
Yep, I'm around. I'm Matt. Matt, I'm a. Let me just resume.
We can
There
hear
we
you.
go. Okay, I was looking to cue the video back up. So I'm Matt, one of the newer members of the commission. Came on about 5 years ago. Just
5 years
yeah.
ago?
Actually, no. Was it six? It was just towards the beginning. I think it was just be towards the beginning of COVID, actually.
That's crazy. I can't believe it's so long ago. Wow.
Yeah. And I'm an ICU nurse. Been flying my trade for in that field for almost 20 years. If you don't count the 2 years that I was doing something, I'm just gonna say doing something else. Won't bore you with the details. Yeah. So I got. So welcome.
Thanks, Matt.
Yes.
Great. And then there's one other gentleman, Peter Van Dyne, who is our former vice chair and treasurer, who's a retired engineer who lives on Bolt Lake and is pretty much the brains behind our citizen science monitoring, not only of Bolt Lakes, but of the streams and vernal pools in the town of Bolton. And hopefully we will be able to link up with him and Chris. Is Chris here?
Yep, hey, I'm Chris. Yeah, I recently graduated UConn with, business analytics and project management. I like to mountain bike and hike around here. So I've been using the Bolton Trails for a while, so I really do like them.
Yes, it's amazing. I met Chris. My wife and I were hiking up on Box Mountain once, and he came came whipping by with his mountain bike, and I stopped him just to say hello and asked him how the trails were, and that's where it all began. Now he's like, hopefully we'll be the person helping us transfer all the data that Peter Van Dyne has, so that we can upload it to the Connecticut DEP portal. Very important stream temperature monitor data. Thanks, Chris. All right, so let's get some moving on here to the so one of the things I want to mention, Caitlin, is sometimes we have a very we work on a lot of events throughout the town, and we don't have an agenda like this. There's so many events happening. Like last Tuesday night, there was two or three meetings at the same time. Actually, at the same time, it was crazy. It was the Board of Selectmen had their CROG presentation, and then the Inland Wetlands Commission met regarding the subsurface sewage system, which they plan to install behind the library and the town hall into the Heritage Farm. And I sent out links in my email, so hopefully you guys had a chance to look at some of those. But if you didn't, I have them right here and I can bring them up. Hopefully. There it goes. Looks like these are the minutes from December 6th. Oh, rats. This is not what I wanted to show everybody. So I will go back to my agenda. Actually, these are the minutes of the December 16th meeting. This is before they approved it, and they were talking about, oh, the soccer field. This is the soccer field that was approved. So let me go back and try to find that other link.
Beauty school drop.
Maybe this is it instead. Oh, this is a soccer field. Okay, so it's in the agenda.
By the way, I know it was a little bit of a Johnny come lately, but I did forward the MS4 report from Pat Young.
I can't believe you did that. You forwarded it to where?
Forwarded it to all y'all.
That's so timely, because I had everything. There was so much on the plate. That's fantastic. So it's good timing, because next month that'll be first and foremost. We get a chance to review that. Very important. MS4. Caitlin, are you familiar with MS4? Did they have that in Massachusetts? No. Okay. So we'll go over that next month. It's really important. It's one of these things that gets tucked away and doesn't get reviewed, but it should be reviewed by all the towns before they are finalized. So we'll talk about that. All right, so I'm going to scroll to basically, thought I had a map. Here it is. Okay, I gotta somehow rotate this.
Two big
Edit. Can I rotate on Zoom?
Another
Well,
big
maybe I can just do it sideways. Okay, so if you can picture, this is a subsurface. Basically, it's a pipe. Some of it is actually pressurized, and some of it is gravity fed.
day on.
And it basically runs down to the boardwalk that goes through Heritage Farm from the library and the town hall. So you can see here that this is the library, and this is Toomey Road. Can everybody see my cursor?
Yes.
Okay. So it looks like it comes out of the front and runs along the side, and then runs along Toomey Road, and then runs along the tavern, and then runs along the side of the town hall, straight back. And this is where it would actually tie in with the connectivity trail. This is actually a boardwalk section. And I was talking to Jim Rupert, and he said they're actually going to have the piping alongside of running parallel with this Connectivity Trail. So this is where this is the pipe, and this is pretty much the same direction as Connectivity Trail until it comes out to the Heritage Farm. And here's the barn. It takes a left-hand turn and goes up to where the leaching fields will be. And this doesn't show the primary. There was supposed to be a backup leaching field. I don't see here, but anyway, you all know that the town hall has not changed in size, and neither has the library for quite some time, probably due to the fact that the soils are so wet. So this has been a real challenge for the Wetlands Commission. I had a chance to listen to their meeting, and I was really impressed with the not only the qualifications of the members, but basically their discussion and how they were concerned about the different types of soils that would be used and the timing, and the testing. So it's very interesting to get a chance to listen to their minutes, listen to their meeting that occurred last Tuesday. It'd be very informative, and they pretty much passed this. I think there's still some more concerns as time goes on, but I'm sure there's going to be tweaks to this. Is there any questions from anybody about this?
Nope.
Okay. So this is something we can follow, again, this will be installed before the connectivity trail. Least that's the plan. And I think they're moving pretty quickly on this. I think that they're waiting for the snow to go away before they can actually start the project. Great. Okay, next on the agenda. Why is everything light on this now?
Oh, yeah, if you get out of the header, just like click in the documents, it should get it fixed.
Click. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Okay, Herrick Park Soccer Field. Okay, so this was something that I wish we had more of a chance to comment on, but it's been in the process for a long time. I believe the town received a grant for, I think it was roughly $3 million to do this like years ago, and they finally got around to getting a more deep a plan. And you can see that one of the things I was quite confused about was the soils report, which I included a copy of in this agenda. Well, here's a schematic of the soccer field. Is everybody familiar with Herrick Park? So when you first enter Herrick Park, you're on Bates Way, which is named after Stan Bates, by the way. Stan Bates was the person who negotiated the purchase of Herrick Park from the Herrick family. And when he was searching the deed, he found out from before the Herricks, believe it or not, they had some reference to Chief Uncas, a Mohegan. So this goes way back. There's not much in the way of ownership to this beautiful park, and we have a trail that we maintain in there, and we lead hikes on. And if you look, this is what really kind of upsets me a little bit. Is this is the boundary? If you can see this little wave across the schematic here, this is the canopy boundary, and it runs along the entire center of the soccer field. So if they're going to clear cut everything all the way back to there's a stone wall, which is quite a large cut. And it's also on a slope, so they're going to have to bring fill. And what I understand is that there is no plans for bleachers. If you look at this, it's such a narrow fit. There's no bleachers on either side, only parking on the end. And I guess there's going to be a 6-foot running track around part of it. I think that's it right there, this gravel running track. So there is a need for soccer in town. There's a lot less baseball. So soccer is growing as a sport in our town. and there isn't many places that doesn't get wet. But I would like to at some point walk, do a field review, even though this is already apparently passed. I'm not sure if planning and zoning has approved this or not, or if even the Board of Selectmen have. I'm not sure where it stands in the approval process. But I'd like to walk at some time and see what kind of trees are going to be missing, because not far from here is Alan and I. You remember the chestnut trees, right?
All right.
They're right around in here somewhere. And there's more than one. There's got to be at least four or five. So I'm hoping they're going to be far enough away from the edge. But anyway, that's the plan. And then in the soil scientist report, to Mr. Dillon, they talk about the recommendations. And this is what throws me is in the process of starting to put in, I guess it's going to be a turf. It's not going to be artificial turf. They're going to kill the existing sod on the present side with glyphosate. Glyphosate? How do you pronounce that? Glyphosate.
Glyphosate.
Thank you.
I'm
Glyphosate.
familiar with that one.
Oh, I thought it was glyphosate.
Glyphosate. Yeah, which is,
Okay.
I don't know if it's the greatest thing to use. But they are going to treat it, and they're the till the sod once completely dead to pulverize it before stripping the topsoil. The intent is to accelerate its decomposition once the topsoil is stripped and stockpiled. Use a bog harrow followed by a reverse tiller to pulverize the vegetation. I'm just not saying yes or no. I'm just very amazed at the process. Then they're going to add compost after they use this glyphosate. They're going to add compost to the topsoil before stripping to increase its organic matter content to at least 5% by weight. I don't know, Caitlin, do you deal with this at all at DCR?
DEP,
DEP.
but sorry, you cut out for a minute, but what did you say?
So I'm just wondering if you've dealt with this at all. Are you familiar with this process?
The process of using glyphosate?
Yeah, and adding compost afterwards.
I don't know about the compost afterwards, but I'm familiar with the active ingredient glyphosate.
And then what is glyphosate pretty much? What's the active ingredient? Is it safe?
So glyphosate is the active ingredient. So I wouldn't say it's safe. I think if you're using it, so yeah, I'm going to give you my regulatory answer. So we would never use the word safe, but if you're using it according to your labeling, which they probably are because they're having a professional do it, then it's not of concern. But glyphosate is like if you Googled glyphosate, you'd see like it's in Roundup, and like it's a concern with a lot of homeowners using it. But from like my federal experience, it's not of concern if you're using it properly. Adding the compost afterwards, like I can't really speak to that. And I can't remember if like Herrick Park is like I remember it being kind of soggy over there, but I guess it's not.
It is. Yeah.
It is.
Well, this is kind of a
So
slope, though. This is kind of a sloped area. So I don't know if it's as soggy as the fields, the existing fields, but I don't know. Anyway, I just thought I'd share this. I mean, it doesn't really.
is there a problem if it gets into the stream at all?
yeah,
Yeah,
because
it's a
that's
question, where is this nearest stream? I
because
don't think
the streams are right
it,
there in the trail. Yeah.
right? Do we cross over to
Yeah.
get
Yep.
so? And
Well,
all those chestnut trees are on the west side of that stream.
right.
Yep.
So anyway, let's find out where this stands in the regulatory process. Andrea, are you familiar with where it stands by chance?
I am not.
Okay, that's fine. Anyway, so just keep tuned. We'll find out more about it, and I would like to do a site walk sometime if anybody is interested. I'd like to
Yeah,
get
I'd go with you.
cool. Yeah, we'll have to bring snowshoes if we go now.
I got him.
All right, let's do it. Just let me know when. And then Brenda, once your knee gets better, you can be leading the way.
Oh, yeah.
All
Thanks.
And Chris, you got fat tires?
I can't ride in this. I actually hiked up Case Mountain when there was snow and I could get through it. Well, yeah, I actually used to play soccer at Herrick Park, and I do remember it being quite wet or wetter than I would have liked. But that was like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's wet. It's wet. I don't know why they didn't fix the existing park, the existing field, but anyway, okay.
Oh yeah, and then asking like just like Gemini about glyphosate, it said like, I don't know, it's controversial. Some people say it's good, some people say it's not. Like some of the studies are being like retracted, where it's like not completely safe, but it's not like, you know, completely harmful really. It does damage like soil and aquatic life, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this has already passed the regulatory hurdle, if this if they could eat if they would still answer our concerns, I'm sure they would, so I might
Hey,
just pass.
Rod,
Go ahead.
sorry, I'm just remembering what's on the agenda for the BOS tomorrow. So yeah, this is partially grant funded, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I think based on previous meetings I've clerked for that this project's slated for the spring, and they're supposed to make a motion to approve this project tomorrow,
Really?
make a decision whether to approve or not. Or act on approving at tomorrow's BOS meeting. And I know that the point of contact is the building and ground supervisor, who's that's the this project falls under his charge. But I'm sure that the hierarchy of the chain of command is going through Town Administrator James Rupert. But you may want to, because I just went over the agenda for the BOS tomorrow. And I believe it's on there.
Okay,
So those
great.
meetings are
So,
open to the public as well.
well, thank you for that. We would have never known that. I know they meet on the first Tuesday of every month. I didn't know it was on the agenda, but it's really great that you're able to share that with us.
No
Does
problem.
the commission feel as though we should write a letter of concern about using this glyphosate and then composting on top of it? Or do you think that we should just let matters?
What's the concern of adding compost on top of the pesticide after it's done its job?
Okay, so I don't understand. So if you understand, I mean, I understand compost as actually connecting with microorganisms in the ground, and the microorganisms actually help the compost break down. And if you had this layer of chemicals underneath, you're kind of defeating the purpose of composting breaking down, are you? I'm not an agronomist, but I don't understand the purpose of using this chemical and then adding compost. It just doesn't, it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just
Well, no,
composting too much.
if you poison the ground and then put something alive on top of it, I don't really get that either.
I'd be more concerned about the like nearby groundwater.
Yeah.
Well, this thing has like some kind of drainage, I presume.
Oh yeah. It's going to be yeah, it's all engineered. Yep. Yeah, today's development doesn't ignore groundwater, at least to my knowledge. But
I think, yeah, I think it would be like broken down after a while. Like it's not gonna stay in the soil forever, so I assume that they would have a some sort of time frame. Like this wouldn't be like an immediate thing. So like once, I'm sure they would test the soil before they would add it. But that
So
seems
there
like.
is, and sorry, just to provide more contextual information, and maybe I'll try to. In the previous meeting minutes over the last several weeks, this topic came up, and I know they have to expedite this project, the soccer fields project, over the parks and rec improvements because the grant money, they need to spend it by a certain time period. So, this project is slated to move forward in the springtime, this spring.
And today,
Not to be
so
like
it's not.
finished in spring, right?
No, to finish it, yeah.
So when
Like
are they gonna
start it and finish it by June. Yeah,
that
that was.
seems a little rushed. I feel like they could use the grant money to pay the contractor and have the work
So
done.
it is rushed because I think as Rod had stated that the monies had been around for a while and the plan was not, there's a delay in getting the proposed plan together. And so now they're up against the deadline to when they have to spend a certain amount of money. And this project is considered a low-hanging fruit that they could accomplish quickly. Versus the upgrades of the parks, one of the parks. And again, I'm just going off my recollection from clerking the previous several weeks
Yeah,
with that.
appreciate that. Yeah.
But the minutes are there, so don't take my exact word
No,
as possible.
it's not a fast track, but I think that what Caitlin said is probably accurate as well, that they once they have the contract signed, they can move systematically in a manner that's appropriate, as opposed to rushing and having it done by the spring. Seems to me I read that they were gonna start on the surface in the spring. It's gonna take a long time to finish, and I think they had to let the soil sit for a whole summer for it to settle. That's what I read also. There's a lot before they start playing on it. There's a waiting period. So I guess what I'm asking the commission is, should we write to Jim and just express our concern, just inquire about using this chemical with composting, and also with a concern of where it's going to go, is there groundwater concern?
Maybe we could ask like for clarification as to exactly what the process will be and what the potential, put it on them to explain the potential environmental, factors that may be a concern. Because if it's a done deal, it's a done deal. So all we want is just a clarification as a non-regulatory body, advisory body to clearly understand what the process and also particularly regarding the wetlands that are just below that.
And the fact there's going to be no bleachers. What's the purpose of having a soccer field with no viewing stands? Where's the
Well, I
team going
mean.
to go? Where's the players going to go? I mean, I don't get it. Does that make sense to you?
I
No,
like
it
the idea of having
doesn't.
a track.
It's
That's
nice to have a
something we
track,
could use.
but where does the coach, where do both teams stand? Where do they, I mean, they're going to have to be on the
Right.
field? I don't understand how that works.
I mean, sometimes the bleachers are like behind the tracks. I've done track before, and that's usually
Okay.
how it works. But then, like, I know the Herrick Park like doesn't have the space for the bleachers to be behind the track. Like, I wouldn't think it would have the space. I'm not sure. Is it like an actual like quarter mile running track, or is it just like a trail type thing?
I think it's just a trail type thing, 6 feet wide,
Okay.
stone dust. And then somebody said there was going to be bleachers at the end. Maybe down this end, but that doesn't really help you watch a soccer game from the end. It's nice to watch it
Right.
from the sides. I don't know. So,
Well, you can, well, once again, you can ask them to explain a little more detail from our perspective.
okay, so I will write a letter tomorrow morning to Jim. Providing the commission agrees, asking to supply us with more information about the use of glyphosate on composted material and how that works, and also expressing our concern about the impacts to any of the groundwater, specifically the stream that runs through the park, and also mention ask where the bleachers are going to go. Should I also ask
Sure.
that?
Okay.
Okay. Does everybody agree with that? Any other concerns?
I'm just
I
looking
think
up
we
a lot
covered them.
of information on it now. But I think that you might be onto something with the compost being added on top of it if it's immediately after, if this is a rush job. that may be of concern. So getting a timeline would be really beneficial. And then, yeah, I think that the water might be okay, but still getting a timeline would be valuable.
So, is there a motion to approve this letter to Jim Rupert, our administrative officer, tomorrow?
Yes.
Great. So, Caitlin so moves. Is there a second?
I will
I'll
second.
second
I think it was Matt that seconded first.
it.
Any more questions or comments?
All right.
Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? The motion is carried. Thanks, everyone. I think it's great that we're able to do what we do the best, and that's to advise the land use commissions on making the best decision possible. We are non-regulatory, and I actually would like to propose to the Conservation Commission that we write to the regulatory commissions, and ask if we can be notified ahead of time whenever there's an application pending for open space. Specifically town-owned open space, or public open space, natural area preserves, land trust property. If we can be basically given heads up on this ahead of time before it's too late. What's everybody think about that?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so somebody care to make a motion to authorize me to write that letter?
Are we talking about specifically like pesticide use
No, this is
No.
basically the
space?
whole regulatory process. Basically, so we are non-regulatory. We don't vote yay or nay on a project, okay? But or a yeah, a project. So, but what we do is we collect data and add to our natural resource inventory. And we have as much information as possible that any conservation commission can have on our natural resources in town. So we as a non-regulatory commission should provide, and actually we must provide, conduct research on the utilization and possible utilization of land areas within the town. So our research should be shared with these land use commissions so they can make the best decision possible. And an agreement by, and I've already got a preliminary like okay from the Wetlands Commission, but I'd like to get one from P&Z. I think we should be afforded the opportunity to review before it's voted on, before it's a done deal. All they have to do is send us a letter and say, "Hey, we have an application for this. Feel free to comment." Does that make sense?
Yes, and because we are obligated, it's not just, we have that obligation and responsibility to, advise.
See, one of the things that's different in Connecticut than Massachusetts, Caitlin, is that we are separate commissions. We are non-regulatory, whereas in Massachusetts, they're one and the same. Conservation commissions are regulatory, and they often don't have the times to work proactively on policy. So this would be great. I think this would be a great way to communicate, to stay in touch with our regulatory commissions, and this would include attempts for I forgot the term when there's a proposed timber harvest and they propose to be exempt. This would be another a great thing for us to be given a heads up on whenever there's a potential timber harvest. We have vernal pool maps. A lot of times I hear after the fact that that the vernal pools were impacted because they just didn't know where it was. They didn't have a good map or they didn't have good data. So providing them with accurate information allows them to make the best decision.
And also, they are obligated to keep us in the loop.
No, they are not. It was just sad. They oftentimes don't. So I'm a Kakiwik director, and I reached out to all my Kakiwik directors today, and I got a response from the town of Clinton, Connecticut. That's the only commission that I know of so far who basically is they're required to be communicated with prior to the application, prior to the decision-making process. And that's the only town so far, Clinton, that
Well, not to belabor the point, but we as a conservation commission are obligated to advise. And how do we advise if we don't know what's going on?
Yeah, good point. That's why a nice letter to each chair of the planning
Yeah.
zoning and
Respectfully request.
right. I already got it written, so I just need a motion. So would somebody care to make a motion to that point?
Full body vibration. I will make a motion to approve Rod Parley to contact Jim Rupert about our concerns regarding the Herrick Park soccer fields.
Well, I think we already voted. We just voted on that.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, so this is a new motion. This is a motion to authorize the chair of the Conservation Commission to reach out to the chair of the Wetlands Commission and Planning Zoning
Oh.
to
Okay.
request information about any pending applications, regulatory applications for us to review. Period. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Beforehand? Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Pretty simple.
Rod, are the this is the recording clerk. Is this for all applications or just applications concerning open space and conservation areas?
Yeah, thanks for clarifying. Yes, so this would include open space, public land, land trust property, and natural area preserves.
Thank you.
So in other words, anything that the town owns, and I want to also include timber harvest. I think that we should get a heads up whenever there's a proposed timber harvest.
And also something about vernal pools. And
So
those are on
we
private
don't want to
property.
impede. So that's the Wetlands Commission's purview. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We have vernal pool maps, really good maps that we share with the Wetlands Commission, and they have the regulatory authority of determining whether there's a significant impact to a vernal pool, and they should know about vernal pools. So I wouldn't go that far. But I think that public land, especially open space, whether it be land trust or park land, and specifically requesting as of right, which is a timber harvest, where they don't have to have a regulatory approval, where they just go in there willy-nilly and and don't plan their skid roads according to soils and vernal pools. So back to the motion again. What do you have so far?
Matt Rivers made a motion to approve you to contact Wetlands and PZC. So
Cheers.
you just need a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any more discussion, questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Moving right along. So next is the Lake Street Solar. Okay, so this is a good one. So I'm going to bring up a picture here. This is really interesting because I have been such a proponent of solar power for so many years. I'm a member of People's Action for Clean Energy, and boy, I used to babysit for these houses where we'd have solar tours and we would show off these amazing envelope houses that were completely run on the sun. And I don't see the picture I want to show right now. Hold on one second. I got to dig that out.
The Hanford camp, walls are up, he's in, two decks on the front. Today we are going to work on rafters. They're going to be good size. Come up.
So the about 4 years ago, the 4 years ago, the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Planning Commission, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Bolton, updated their solar installation regulations, I guess, for the lack of better terms. And I was quite shocked. I said to myself, why would we want to regulate the installation of solar panels? And the results were pretty profound. I mean, they made so much sense after you review them. Because somebody across the street from you puts in these huge solar panels, and the slope of the roof is facing your front windows, and the sun reflects off of that and lights up your whole living room for 2 hours every day. Or there's issues with the structural integrity of your roof. Some people don't really have their roof checked before they put in solar. There's a lot of things associated with residential solar, which I don't normally have a problem with. But I just thought to myself, wow, it's really interesting that the Zoning Commission regulates solar. And now go a step further, and they're planning a 1.2 megawatt, 6.3 acre solar array on Lake Street next to this beautiful home. It's not on the roof. It's in a lot next to this home in a residential neighborhood. On your way down to Shady Glen, as you go down Lake Street, take a look at this little field they're putting it in next to this beautiful house. And I would like the Conservation Commission to write a letter to the Siting Council, because right now it's at a petition stage, to basically oppose this huge project for this small community of people whose private property values would depreciate, their insurance will skyrocket, and they could have detrimental impacts from those solar panels, not to mention runoff from the water. It's not far from GAA water quality, Manchester Water Company property. There's all kinds of wildlife issues. It just seems like the wrong place. And I am so in favor of solar in the right application, on top of a commercial building, on top of an area that's a mall or a parking area. I mean, it's just, there's so many other applications other than a residential neighborhood. What's everybody's thoughts on that?
So my thoughts on that are, number one, this is taking place in Manchester.
Yeah, it's, I think it's close to the border of Bolton and the aquifer.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So, I thought the project had already been, nixed.
No.
Or is this still part of,
that's no, a different no. one.
So it basically was passed on to the Siting Council. So Planning and Zoning Commission wrote a letter against it. You might remember, you might recall 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, we had residents of that street in Manchester coming up Carter Street. We had two women came to the selectmen's meeting and asked the town to be interveners to stop. They were going to put a solar array on that street. They were going to clear cut, I think it was a 9 acre lot, for a solar array, and they intervene and they turned it down. The Siting Council voted it down. So now basically the Planning and Zoning Commission has voted it down, and they're sending it on to the Siting Council. I believe they'll be voting on it sometime. The deadline for this is the end of the month, the 16th, I think, February 16th.
And we would be basing our objection to this upon the number of unknowns, or upon potentialities,
unknowns of residential placement. The only thing I would mention in the letter is we were opposed to it being installed in a residential neighborhood, and the size of it, the fact that it's so big, and it's going to depreciate the property values of the residents.
Okay, do we know that it's going to depreciate the property values?
I would be shocked if it didn't.
So we don't know for certain.
Okay, so I would just be I would encourage the commission to oppose it because the fact that it's in a residential neighborhood, it's the wrong place for it.
I don't feel. Oh, go
Go
ahead.
ahead, Caitlin.
Sorry. I have a question about the focus of the Conservation Commission entirely. So, conservation, I know that we can use that word in a lot of different contexts. What would be the focus for the interest for like why would we be the commission to prevent this from happening or
Well, we're not going to be the only
Thank you,
commission
Caitlin. I
to
was getting at
prevent
that,
it.
yeah.
We're just going to offer basically our comments along with the Manchester Conservation Commission, the Manchester Land Trust, Town of Manchester, just offering our comments, basically opposed to the location in a residential neighborhood. That was pretty much the focus of my concern.
Because of
Do we
its
know how?
proximity to us.
I'm sorry, Alan?
Because of its proximity to Bolton.
No, I'm just looking at it from a perspective of the placement. The fact that it's next to a beautiful house like this, it's 6.3 acres, 100 and was it nine 1.2 megawatts. It's huge. It's massive. To me, it doesn't go in a residential neighborhood. That's
Okay,
it.
my
I'm
con yeah,
sorry,
my
just a point
concern
of
is.
clarity.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, this is a recording clerk. This site on Lake Street is in Manchester, and does it abut Bolton? I think Alan, that's what Alan was asking. Is it
Yeah,
adjacent to Bolton
it's
property or no?
it doesn't abut Bolton. It's
No.
not on Lake Street either. It's on
It's on Lake Street. Yeah, it's right here at Lake Street's.
Okay.
I thought it was on that little road off of.
No, it's on Lake Street. That's why it
And
says no
when
solar on Lake Street. That's the house on Lake Street. It's going to go to the left of that.
you said that the PZC voted down the project, did you mean Manchester PZC?
Did I see PZC? I thought I said that. I'm not sure if the Planning and Zoning Commission voted it down. I know that I might have said that. I know that the Conservation Commission voted it down. They actually sent a letter opposing it, as did the Manchester Land Trust.
I'm just trying to get clarity if when you were talking about PZC regulates solar, if you meant Manchester or Bolton.
All Manchester. This is close to our border, but not in Bolton.
Okay.
Not in Bolton.
Got it. All right, thank you.
I have another map I wanted to show you.
I
I think
think the
if we if
more.
you want to write a letter to support their decision, that would be one thing, but I mean we're
That's
it's not really our business. I don't mean to say it quite
pretty
like
much
that.
what I was, yeah, that's pretty much what I was about to say, Alan, was that I think the more prudent or stronger the stronger position, the more prudent position, the more situationally appropriate position would be to support
Their concern.
would be to, yeah, would be to support that concern because I appreciate the notion of being neighborly, but there's being neighborly and there's I'm just going to say poking our nose into affairs that don't entirely concern us. I mean, we and we would be speaking kind of we would be kind of shooting from the hip in a certain sense because we are not privy to all of the details and intricacies of the issue at hand. So I'm a little concerned for us sticking our proverbial foot in our mouths.
Okay, so here's a map showing the GAA water quality. This is one of the subsurface there's two different types of water quality gratings. Are you familiar with that, Caitlin?
Water gradings? No, not really.
So yeah, this is the Lytle Street Reservoir. So this, I don't know if anybody, if you get a chance to go on Zoom and take a look at what happened in Plainville, they had some serious runoff from the solar panels in Plainville that created wicked erosion. And so that's a concern I would have also. But I'd be willing, I'm just suggesting that we review this. I'm not saying we have to. If you don't feel like we should, that's fine. If you want to support other groups that are doing this, you want to support the Manchester Land Trust in their efforts, write a letter of support to them. But what they're asking, the people, the friends of Lake Street are asking everybody in the area, and you can see the area. Here is the Bolton Vernon line. This is the aquifer area. This is
Bolton Manchester line.
I'm sorry, Manchester Bolton line. There's Vernon up here. Thanks, Ellen. So here's Lake Street, and it's in this area right here where it says double A. And these purple lines represent GAA. Those are groundwater, really important groundwater subsurface water quality for the reservoir. So it's in an area that has very sensitive water resources. So I personally don't think it's a good idea to allow these huge solar arrays in a residential neighborhood, especially in areas where there's a concern over water quality.
Oh, you could also state it as a matter of principle. We think that this is a bad idea for X, Y, and Z, and our concern would be if it's in effect uncontrolled, then we're going to set ourselves up for all sorts of issues in the future.
I would like to say I'm appreciating what everyone's saying here. I definitely feel like, we are Bolton and everything. I know that maybe our proximity of interest would exceed two other towns that are nearby. Rod, I think the trouble that I'm having with seeing this as being a potential motion is the reasons seem almost personal. And like I wouldn't want like a solar yard next to me. Like I totally get that. But I think that I really like to your point about the erosion concerns. If there's any other sort of like environmental considerations that might, for lack of a better word, trickle into Bolton, I think those might help bolster this motion so that maybe we all might be a little bit more on board with it. I'm speaking for myself, but
No, good point. Yeah, I agree.
Yep,
Thank you for
well
that.
put. Well put.
Yeah, well said. Just in, Rod, do we know what kind of time frame we're on? Or is this something that has to happen immediately? Just because I'm looking at the clock and we've chewed up a lot of time and we still have agenda left to go. I mean, is this something that we can potentially table until the next meeting?
Now, unfortunately, the Siting Council votes on this this month. I think I said before, February 17th.
I also wouldn't want Manchester to come and tell us how we can use our
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, th this is we're just supporting Manchester Conservation again, the Conservation Commission and the Town of Manchester. And the Land Trust have written letters to the Siting Council. And that's fine. If you don't feel as though we should do this, I mean, the selectmen did this for two people that lived in Manchester about a year and a half ago. They came to the Board of Selectmen and they wrote a letter to the Siting Council
So
for a
yeah,
similar
so the Board
situation.
of Selectmen, yeah, so the Board of Selectmen came to their aid because their aid was requested. I don't feel comfortable wading into these waters. If people want to send individual letters of support, I leave that to the individual conscience, but I can't really get behind a motion for the commission as a whole to be sort of trying to cast our lot in on an issue on this issue. I mean, I
Okay.
just can't I just can't see I just can't see it as as I just can't get behind emotion.
Well, hopefully it won't come in your neighborhood or mine. Actually, it is in mine. I live up the hill and I could very easily hear the noise of the inverter if this does pass. So it's somewhat personal, but it's also just the principle of allowing it to happen in a residential neighborhood. That's my biggest problem with it. But if you guys don't see it as a problem, that's fine. I mean,
Well, I think we understand your concern first off, and once again, that's why I was saying, the concern is placing things that don't belong in residential areas, in residential areas because of the impact of, there's a lot of houses, a lot of people. You're not the only one that's going to be hearing all that noise, and you're not the only one that's going to, suffer some, potential runoff damage or, so, I mean, I think a letter of support and expressing concerns of, that you cited. So I think it's fair and valid that we do support you and your concerns and, but once again, it's writ large. It's not just Bolton, it's or Manchester for that matter. It's in principle. They should not be in residential neighborhoods of that size, anyways.
is it a commercial lot?
No, it's residential. It's all residential. I thought I said that. You saw the house, right?
Yeah, but she's
It's
referring
next to
to
the
the
house,
actual
though.
lot.
Oh, next to it. Oh, no, I don't believe so. I think it's residential and agriculture, maybe agricultural. But again, you're right. They didn't come to us. So I feel what you're feeling. Matt, I think you said what you had to say, and I agree with you. And Caitlin, I think that they didn't come to us. So, I think it is a stretch that we get involved with Manchester as much as I would like to see that at some point, but I think it is somewhat of a stretch. So I'm happy with that. I'm fine. As long as everybody else is. I mean,
Yeah.
Brenda didn't hear from you.
Yeah, no, I agree with Caitlin and Matt. Yeah. I mean, we don't know the opinion too of the neighbors. Maybe they're for it. You
No,
know?
none of the neighbors are for
They're
it.
not. Okay.
I just hope it never comes in our neighborhood, that's all. And
Yeah.
actually, it was proposed up on Box Mountain. They clear
Well,
cut 20 acres. They only put in 2 acres of
I
soil.
would hope that if it did come to Bolton, we'd have more time to assess it and fight it a little stronger than
Yes.
we
Well,
did for
that's good.
this
So
one.
this is a good trial run then. So now we know what to focus on. And in this case, I think it's not just environmental, but it's zoning. But anyway, okay, so we can move on. Unless anybody else wants to discuss it, let's continue. I will continue to support the neighbors down there, offer whatever 2 cents I can. And then I'll keep you posted as to what happens with that, what the siting council determines. I'm sure you'll read about it in the paper. If you Google Lake Street Solar, you can see there's a lot of information on it. All right, Nathan Hale Greenway. Okay, so this is pretty much an issue that Alan and I were involved with. We had a chance. We were informed that the Bolton Land Trust went ahead and blazed trails with the approval of the town, and we were asked to review the trails and to tr review the blazes. And there was a number of problems with the blazing, and so we're reaching out to Gwen Marion to let her know of the issues. I wrote a letter to her based on Alan and I assessments on the trail placement of the blazes. They were done by a tall individual, and they're very high off the ground. So once the leaves leaf out, a lot of those blazes won't be seen as readily as they should be. There was a lot of missing blazes. There was some that weren't turned properly. But I guess overall, it's a nice new trail system. I think it's a lot for the town to manage. There's way too many trails. I mean, there's not way too many. There's a lot of trails that are going different directions on this property. And they're all beautiful in their own right. So I highly recommend everybody get in there at some point and hike it off of what's the name of that road, Alan? The parking lot is
Stony Creek or
Stony Road.
Stony
Stony
Road?
Road,
Stony Road.
right off Stony Road is a parking area. And there was also trees that were marked to be cut near the parking area. And I talked to Jim Rupert about that, and he said they're sightline trees, probably sightline, because they looked healthy to me. There was a white oak, white pine, and a
Shag mark.
shagbark hickory, right? And he said those are probably, but I understand two of them, but the one on the other side, the shagbark, I don't get it. It was a completely healthy tree. I don't know why they would take a shagbark.
Right, and it's not really on the sight line.
It's not. No, I can't. And so I asked him, I said, about, doesn't it have to be posted? Isn't there an ordinance in town that says when there's a tree that's going to be cut, they have so many days to comment? And he wasn't sure if that, if disqualified. But anyway, yeah, we're going to still work with Gwen on this, and Alan or Matt, when you ever get in there sometime, take a look at whatever blazes are missing. And you know what threw me is the private property. I thought we were on private property until the land trust went ahead and did it anyway. Then I realized that the area that we thought was private wasn't. So that was the area that crossed the wetlands. And now it's a great crossing, the same place that Alan and I picked to cross, they utilized. So it's important for us because there's a little history behind this. This was going to be an Eastern Expressway. They were going to put a highway in from Bolton Notch to Willimantic. And some people say it was funding that stopped it, and some people say it was really the natural diversity database, the amount of endangered and threatened species. I think it was a combination of both. But there is some very unique resources in that. There's the headwaters of the Hop, which should be critical habitat in my mind. We Alan and I, and I think Matt, you helped out with the salamander survey. We did a salamander survey and found some pretty unique dusky salamanders. We had there's a vernal pool in there. We're actually monitoring the temperature of the vernal pool, and we have a stream temperature monitor in there as well. So we are very much a part of this greenway and want to preserve it, especially prevent it from ATVs. At one time, there was an ATV that went right over the vernal pool, and it was dry in August. We saw the tracks, and it's like that's one of the things we don't want to have is too many trails that are leading to like a spaghetti design, so to speak. So, I also would like to propose that we have a Trails Day hike in there again with Matt Largesse, our special guest from Rhode Island. And I guess that now would be the time to make the motion because they're starting to accept plans for Trails Day. Trails Day is on June 2nd. Would anybody care to make a motion to have a Trails Day event on the Nathan Hale Greenway Trails?
I'll make a motion to have the Trails Day event on Nathan
June
Hale
6th.
Greenway, June 6th or 5th, 2nd.
June 6th. Yep, Saturday, June 6th.
Okay, June
Great.
6th.
Is there a second? No second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor of having a Trails Day hike in the Nathan Hale Greenway, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, motion's carried. Thank you. Any other comments about the Nathan Hale Greenway, Alan?
It just occurred to me it would be a real shame if that highway would have gone through there, just saying.
Yes.
That would have been atrocious.
Yes.
And nobody would even know how much we would have lost.
Right. Yeah, it's beautiful. Now, I think they're going to continue it along in the next town over, which is Andover. I think it's going to go that direction. It's going to go across South Road to the other side into Andover.
Yep.
So that'd be kind of cool. Okay, so we'll move on to the next item, and that's the result of Winter Trails Day. Alan, you want to touch on that a little bit?
Sure. There was like 14 or 15 people there. It was quite chilly, but we walked and we actually picked up somebody on the way, and he ended up staying with us. And oh, by the way, he bought two calendars. Yeah, it was really informative. There's everybody was really engaged in the tree studies that were going on, and we were measuring, looking for the notable trees, and we found some really amazingly large trees in that, like that one, and
Yeah, it's a red
so
oak. Yeah, so it was great. It was the really the, not the quantity, it was the quality of the people. We had two arborists. We had a person drove all the way from Monroe. We had a member of the Heritage Farm Commission, members from the Hop River Alliance. Yeah, so we had some
And tree guys,
arborists, two arborists, yeah,
arborists,
one from Yukon, and another one from Mansfield. Yeah, so it was really informative. We did not make it down to the wolf tree. We were hoping to measure that wolf tree, but it was really icy, and it's a good thing that we were informed ahead of time of the ice, so we turned back after we came to this tree. And the whole purpose of the hike was to find what was mentioned to us years ago by Ed Richardson, who's a tree guru, a master tree hunter, who started Connecticut Notable Trees. He said that the Heritage Farm is the only farm in the state of Connecticut that had all four species of hickory trees. And we knew we had a pignut, we knew we had a mockernut and a bitternut, but we did not know we had a shagbark because one had fallen in an ice storm a year ago. So our goal was to find and identify shagbark, and we found tons of shagbark trees, shagbark hickories. So the Heritage Farm lives up to its reputation of being one of the only farms in the state of Connecticut with all four species of hickories. And we also got to a vernal pool where the stone wall actually had an area to allow the macroinvertebrate, I'm sorry, the salamanders to go through the bottom of the stone wall. It was pretty cool. So there's an active vernal pool in the Heritage Farm. Anything else?
But just to be clear, there was a stone wall, and they made the consideration to make it so that the water can flow freely underneath the stone wall,
Thanks
as
for
in like an
clarifying.
arch or a lintel, or I forget which.
Great. Okay.
I feel like
Any other
there's a
questions?
motion in there about like encouraging more salamander tunnels or something.
Yeah, it was. I can't believe they were thinking that far back about salamanders. But,
Well, the ground would have been unstable for the stone wall if they just, tried to fill it in, I think. So, I mean, it probably made, I mean, it's basically like a pond, so, and he wanted his wall to go straight through. So, I mean, it was pragmatic, I'm sure.
yeah, it's a good sized wetland. Okay, so let's move on to continuing business. So Matt and I and Matt and Alan and I we were trying to, this all started last summer. We were retrieving a stream temperature monitor in Freya Park. And we looked to where it was and couldn't believe that it was covered by a beaver dam. And we went over to, this was when Al and I were there. We went out, it was a hot day, and we were able to dig down into the water to try to find it. And as it turns out, the beavers actually moved the shrub that we had our flags attached to. And it looked like it was still in the ground until we reached for it to get up, and it was detached, and you can see the sharp edge on it. So they fooled us. They deceived us to think that this stream temperature monitor was where we were looking. We went back about a month later and we looked and it was dry, and there it was. There was this cairn we make of rocks, and underneath the cairn was the angle iron with the PVC pipe with the hobo in the middle that collects the data. So we were fortunate enough to attain the data, but we were concerned about the beavers, and we reached out to Beaver Solutions in Massachusetts, and they said they would offer us a free assessment. So they came down, and we had a chance to meet with Dave Buckley and also Jim Adams of Bike Walk Bolton. I might have said that Jim Adams was with the Hop River Alliance. He's actually with Bike Walk Bolton. My mistake. So we requested a meeting with, I forgot his name. He's with Mass. He came down from Massachusetts on a really cold, windy, rainy day, and we went out to look at where this beaver device would be installed. And he basically said this is an easy solution, an easy fix, and he gave us an estimate for basically $3,000 worth of work, which I thought was a really good bargain. To control the water level of Notch Pond, which is oftentimes floods our trail, the Shimpsa Trail in Freya Park, and also overtops the dam and floods the Hop River State Park Trail. So I thought it'd be a win-win, and we reached out to Dave Buckley, who said, "Well, the state's not really that keen on it, but hey, we'll run it up the flagpole," and he did, and we met with him, and they basically received he received a flat out no. We do not install these beaver devices on any state park or ponds. So I said that's just hard to believe. As I said, it's unfortunate because I thought that maybe this would be a really quick fix. And he went on to say that no, the state would rather continue trapping, which, by the way, the trappers are aging out. There's not many trappers left. But this is one of the sites that they have on the state registrar, where they register for hiking, for sorry, for trapping, and this is also an area where they do maintenance. They actually pull the beaver dam, they dismantle it by hand or with equipment, and they have no problem doing that on a regular basis instead of installing this $3,000 device. So I reached back out to Beaver Solutions, and they were shocked. They said it's hard to believe the state doesn't use this. They're pretty sure that they have these devices on state land, and they said that in Massachusetts, DCR begs with them to use it on their land, and they also use it on land trust property, and it's very effective. They have, I think they said, over 40 right now in Connecticut that are successfully installed. And they've installed over 100 in the past 5 years, so they've had have a pretty good success rate. So I wrote back to Dave Buckley of the state and said, "Can you, run this up the ladder and ask whoever it is to determine that this does not work? Give us a little more breakdown as to why it doesn't work, and maybe I can pass this along to Beaver Solutions because they were really surprised. I'd love to find out more." So I wrote to Dave Buckley, and I had not heard back. I wrote him again today to remind him that I had requested that, and I have not heard back.
Great.
Caitlin, do you have
I
any?
have so much to say, Rod. I have a lot to say. I'm squirming over here writing my notes. All right, so I worked in mosquito control, and so we dealt with like clearing out waterways, and an often problem that would come across was beavers. So you don't remove the dam because then the beavers are just going to recreate the dam, and it's just a forever effort. Beaver deceivers are the devices that they're talking about, and this meeting's recorded, so I'll keep it clean. But they don't always work. And so that's something that it's a company. They're selling you a product, it sounds like, and they want you to believe that that's the greatest solution. I know that in Mass, we would rather just kill the beaver And I know that there's not that many trappers, that's the thing, but it's the preferred way to go. And I know that there's like different like seasons of which you can do that. But that's my two cents. So, I mean, Beaver Solutions, their business, it sounds like they can figure out why their device isn't being purchased. I think, but I would recommend we go with the trappers if that's a solution to consider. I don't know if that's what we wanted to say or.
Well, I'm going to show you a photo. I just posted this. Can you see this photo? I'd like to zoom in on it though. I'm not sure if I can zoom in this format.
Bottom right corner, it looks like.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. There we go. So this was a Beaver deceiver installed by Beaver Solutions from Massachusetts. This was installed like I want to say 2 or 3 years ago on Man Bolton Land Trust property, right? And this was very successful. There is no sign of any beavers on this property anymore. I don't know if it was because of this or because they were trapped or removed, but it's still there. And so far, it's a successful story. And they claim, right, they are a business. But I'm not a fan of trapping. I think beavers are amazing engineers. What they do is just unbelievable. I'm in favor of whatever we can do to eliminate the need for trapping, and also eliminate the amount of labor it takes for the DEP to physically or mechanically remove what beavers have so articulately designed and work so well. For the beaver standpoint.
But we don't want the beavers to do what they do best. And is Beaver Solutions going to be clearing out the deceivers? Like if there is debris that's preventing the water from moving?
Yes, they do have a maintenance plan. Yep, along with that. Yep. They do follow through with it, and they're a pretty reputable business. I mean, I've been They've been coming to our CACUIC annual meeting conference and tabling for years. There's a lot of land trusts and towns that utilize their methods. I don't know. What's everybody else think about trapping beavers?
I think it's going to be a fairly long conversation and not entirely necessary right now, but it's definitely something we should consider and look at all sides just for the sake of things.
Yeah, I think we should probably table this for another meeting. And actually, just so everybody know, just so I'm not, pulling an Irish goodbye, I gotta bounce. I gotta work tomorrow. So SRWP updates. There was no meeting last month. Meeting happening on the 18th, and I pass along the MS4 reports. But I got a boogie, so I'll catch up with you all in the minutes.
All right.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks,
Thanks for coming.
Pat.
Yep. Till next time.
Peace.
Also, that being said, I too have to work in the morning, so we gotta wrap this up as quick as possible, please.
Okay. So we can save the discussion on beavers for a later date. Vernal Pools Day. I think that you were going to at some point send me an application for the library, Alan, right?
That wasn't for vernal pools, though.
That
That
was to
was
have
for earth, the compost thing. Yeah, I have it.
okay.
And
Can you send me? Can you make a copy of that and send it to me?
yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Do we want to have a Vernal Pools workshop again with Ed Pollack at the library in March?
Yeah, I think that would be fine if he's available.
Okay. I can work on that. So if you can send me that, do you know if they're already booked on 328?
This I don't know.
Can you check?
All right.
Can you check to see if they're available? That's a Saturday, so we would probably do it on a Friday if they're open. Are they open? No, they're not open on Friday, are they?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
All right. So we'll have to do it. Are they open on Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So much about the hippie on the camp. So all the camps around us, this for
All
all
right, so if we can do it on Saturday, that would work.
small shacks.
And then we can table pretty much Earth Day until next month.
Right. yard.
Data collection and transfer subcommittee. Chris, are you still here with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I looked at the letter of intent stuff. I couldn't really find out where to do that. I saw, like, public comment stuff online.
Okay, but, I'm still here. You a link. Did you get my link that I sent?
I'll have to look through to find it. So I probably have it somewhere in one of my emails.
Okay, yeah, if you go on the town website, there is a way to there's always looking for members to join committees and commissions. So there should be a link, but I will send you that link again so you can send in your letter of intent.
And right, so it's just
go ahead.
Like the boltonct.gov website. That's it.
Town of Bolton, go to Town of Bolton, and then when you get into Town of Bolton, go to, there should be some drop-down menus that allow you to, I can send it to you. I'll send it to you tonight when the meeting's
okay, yeah, thank you.
Oh, but I haven't heard from Peter Van Dyne, so you haven't had a chance to use this data collection and transfer yet, so we'll work on that. Caitlin, is that something you can help us out with, too, as far as you have experience with collecting data, stream temperature data?
Yeah.
Great. That'd be fantastic.
The living room?
Is that the only living room space?
So you're familiar with the difference between the hobo and the tidbit? It
doesn't work before
no.
Okay. Yeah, so the hobo is basically transferred from a shuttle, from a laptop. Basically goes from the actual hobo to the shuttle to a laptop. That's how you transfer the data. Whereas the other tidbit actually is on my phone. It actually transfers when you bring it out of the water. It just transfers to your phone. So I have lots of tidbit data on my phone, and Peter has lots of hobo data on his laptop. And we have to find a way in which we can send this to the Connecticut DEEP. Who collects data from towns that are part of this program. We are one of those towns. And then they would submit it to UConn. That's the goal. UConn wants this data. So that's the goal.
Take a look around while we're going out. Sure. Okay. We're great.
Yeah, I'd be happy to brainstorm that a little further.
Great, thank you. Okay, annual photo contest promo, 25-year milestone. Okay, so we have a new flyer. And we have two new prizes from. What's that, Brenda?
We don't know yet for sure, but Georgina's, and we were going to contact prices.
I think. I got a confirmation when I was there with you last. The owner of Proplys committed to two $100 gift cards.
Yeah.
So we have that. That is confirmed. So can you reach out to those two, Brenda?
Georgina's and Price? Yeah.
Yes. That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
You want me to write a letter? Or
I think it was Price. It was. Were we thinking of anybody else?
Hardware store?
Hmm.
Alan, did you have other ideas as to where we would reach out to for gift cards for our prizes for our photo contest?
We discussed a couple of places, but I can't really think of them right now.
Yeah, so I think you should just start with Price and Georgina's. I'm sure they would be willing to help. If you wanted to go to the coffee place next to Georgina's, that'd be another place.
That's a chunk of money, though, for some of the small businesses, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so maybe Price and start with Price and Georgina's. You want to write to them, or are you going to show up personally, and or how do you want to?
Yeah, I think going down personally for that.
Okay. Are you able to move around okay now?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Good news.
Yep.
All right. So I don't have any information here from Bike Walk Bolton, but you did receive the Complete Streets program. With the agenda, I think it was in there. We don't have a report from FBL. The Alliance did not meet. I didn't even hear. What did Matt say about the Salmon River?
He said they didn't. He said they didn't meet
either. Okay. Yeah.
We're going to meet this month, I think.
So the only report I have is Kakiwik. Kakiwik did meet night before last, and I got to tell you this crazy story. It's absolutely bonkers. The Planning and Zoning Commission for the town of Coventry basically received an application for a house on a lot. The house on the lot was basically part of a bigger lot. It was
No, it
cut.
was Zoning Board of Appeals. I clerk for Coventry.
Oh my God, you know all about it. I don't
I
have to tell you. So yeah, so
know.
the this the you, go ahead, you can tell everybody, Andrea, what happened.
You're talking about how the two agencies are suing each other?
Yes.
Yeah. So ZBA received an application, and it was for a woman subdividing land from a larger compound. So the family had been there 8 years, and she's subdividing some lots off, and the applicant, you have to prove a hardship in order to receive a variance, and the basic size of the lot is under the required square footage of the zoning requirements for the lot size, which is like 80,000 square feet. So it's under that. And so basically the applicant was putting forth for a variance for a non-conforming lot, and the ZBA went ahead and approved it. And in the sitting in the public, as members of the public, just so happened to be members of planning and zoning because they are actual neighbors in the area. And I guess there had been some previous issues before with ZBA approving certain things that didn't meet the standard of a hardship. So PZC decided that they were going to sue their sister agency, ZBA, which in order to do that has to go before the town manager for approval, and the manager approved it. So they have a court date, but instead of going to court, it's a very long duration of time. So each agency has their own lawyer, and they're negotiating some things behind the not behind the scenes, but it's an active pending court case. So it has to be all negotiated with lawyers. So yeah, that's kind of the nutshell of what's
Wow.
going on in Coventry.
Wow. Yeah, I had never heard that. That was information at Kakiwik. So we also talked about the riparian area working group. They met, they had their last meeting, and now they're going to propose language to the General Assembly, which convenes, I believe, this week for their short session. So we'll be tracking legislation on riparian area corridors in the state of Connecticut. And then we agreed to having our annual meeting in November. We made a motion to approve the date of November. Write this down, Caitlin. We don't want you to miss this. This is a big deal. November 14th is the Kakiwik annual meeting and conference. And we picked the same location. Alan, do you remember where that was? Somewhere down Cromwell, right?
Yes.
Cromwell Ramada or Marriott?
Marriott, I think.
Marriott, right. Yes. So that's action packed. So that'll happen. That's a done deal. So that's pretty much it. Correspondence. Does anybody have any correspondence?
It's future new
I just
library.
want to leave on a parting note, basically mention the fact that I would like to give away Earth Machine composters to people who compost. I think I'm the only one that composts, backyard composts all year long. Does anybody here in the commission compost besides me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Great. So I would like to reach out to members of the town of Bolton, and whoever comes back and says, yes, I compost, I would like to award them with a free Earth Machine composter, just to support the whole concept of reducing our tonnage at the curb and promoting backyard composting. It's the greatest way to turn our spoils to soils, and it ends up being black gold. The greatest garden you can have is one that's has soils from compost, I think. Composting is really important. So that's something I'm going to put on the agenda for next month. Like us consider purchasing Earth Machine composters. We have $6,000 in our budget. I'm sure we can handle 13 or 1600 to purchase 20 of these and give them away to residents who are saving us tax dollars. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, and it also occurs to me that we kind of missed something because we're having that compost event at the library on, I think it was the 7th of April.
Oh, did
Remember?
we did, is that sc scheduled? We have
Yes,
oh.
with the library.
Okay, so
We're supposed to have a presentation as well.
okay. Well, it's something we can work on next month. Maybe we could purchase them
Okay.
outright. You know, maybe we can get.
All right. Well, that would be a good thing, maybe even a draw to get people to come to the composting event that secret prize or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. Hey, Caitlin, do you compost at all? You ever composted? You ever try it?
Yeah, I do. And actually in Massachusetts, some of the municipalities give away composters. So
There
one
you
thing
go.
that I'll probably look into for this is, like, I don't know if we can apply for any grants. I don't know if Connecticut has any grants. Is that something that we could do? Because
Yeah, we could, but it
is
takes
this an
so much
option?
time. It's so much work, and we did apply for a grant and we were turned down
Okay.
because we were actually selling them. If we were to give them away, maybe it would be easier, but I don't think we have the time to do that if we're going to talk about April 7th. I think we should just purchase some and give them, maybe give 10 away and sell 10. We could do that, maybe. But we can talk about this next month.
Yeah, all
Yeah.
right, sounds good.
Great. Okay. Our next month's meeting is on Monday, March 2nd at the town hall. And I guess I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion to adjourn.